Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
How's everybody this morning? Pretty good. I don't think that was very good, so we'll try it again. And one more time. Yeah, I was like, how's everybody this morning? There we go. All right, have a seat. We're glad that you're here, and just welcome. I'm Matt. I'm one of the pastors, and if you're a guest with us today, just thank you for taking time to be here. You're a part of the community already, so just make yourself at home. If you're joining us online, glad that you are doing that as well. Jesus. Father, we are just in awe of your presence. Lord, I just want to reiterate what I heard Will say back here is, come on, Jesus. Lord, just come on. Just pray that you would just overwhelm us, Father, that you would saturate this community with your presence. Lord, not just now, not just for these next few minutes, but Lord, as we go into the world, Father, as we go back to our homes and as we go to restaurants today, Lord, as we interact with whoever we're going to interact with, Lord, that we are so saturated, Lord, that you are so heavy upon us, Lord, in a good way, Lord, that people just know that you are in us, and Lord, that you are flowing through us. Father, they see a change in our life. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, I've seen and I've sensed this morning, Lord, there's just some anxiety, Lord, there's some overwhelming fear of just circumstances in life. Father, a lot of unknown questions and situations. Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit would just minister to those that are feeling that this morning. Lord, that there is nothing too great in this world that you cannot overcome if we will just let you, Lord, be the avenue. Lord, if we will just let you be the guide, if we will just let you be the one to show us how to do it. And Lord, and not to be overwhelmed with that burden for ourselves. And Lord, and I think that's in a lot of situations. It may be family, it may be work, and it may be finances, it may be children. Lord, it may be just in an addiction or a struggle. Father, just to know that you can handle it if we will just give it to you. Lord, just let us do that this morning. Father, the whole point of this month for a teaching point of view is, what is the reason for Christmas? And Father, that's part of it right there. That's part of it. Lord, let it be so for us in this room. Lord, we just want to take just a few seconds for you to give your prayers to the Lord for healing, for circumstances, for finances, for jobs, for relationships, whatever it may be. Just lift those up to the Lord. And then, Lord, I heard somebody while we were singing just say, thank you, Jesus. Lord, we do. We just want to take just another moment just to give you thanks and praise and glory and honor, not just to come to you with our laundry list of things that we need or desire, but, Father, just to give you thanks. Lord, we make our prayer today in the powerful and the matchless, the joyful, the peaceful, the merciful name of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, amen. So we're starting our new series for the month and for the season, and it's The Reason for Christmas. I will also give you the slide here. You can get the notes today. Also, I didn't know that Ashley did this. There's some things I'm glad that I don't know, because it means that I'm not trying to micromanage everything. But I think this would be good for adults too, Ashley, the sermon notes for kids. I love this. It has on there, it says, here's the scripture lesson for you to write down. Words I didn't understand. I think that would be good. Make a tally mark for each time you hear the words God, Jesus, or love. My favorite song today, what I learned today, draw something from the sermon, I think that would be the best part. We could put those up in the wall out here. That would be great. That'd be fantastic. And then points from the lesson that you learned. I think this would be great for adults. And anyway, we could put that online. We could do a lot of things with that. And I'm glad there's one thing not on there, suggestions for the pastor. We're not going to ever do that. We're not going to have that on there ever. So this reasons for Christmas. Now, I want to be careful here because I don't want to make a lot of assumptions, but I'm pretty sure for at least most of us, the majority of us, and not just Christians, but just in general, most of us know the Christmas story, okay? And so one thing I'm struggling with, and I do every year, is what to do during December to make it new and fresh and not just pull out last year's sermon and do it again. And so I've been thinking since about October, we know the story, and if you don't know the story, come see me. I'll tell you the scriptures to go look at. I'll tell you where to find them. I'll tell you the story. I'll take you to coffee. I'll take you to lunch today to tell you the story if you don't know it. But I want to talk about the reason for the story. Because, again, I think most of us, at least in my own heart, we desire to communicate why we do what we do. Why are you here this morning? It's not just because you wanted to get up on your day off, get up early and get everybody ready and go do one more thing. That's not the reason. It's not the reason for just to be in a tradition. It's not the reason to just out of obligation. I think we want to know the reasons. And so why do we have this reason for the story? If you tell the Christmas story, there's a description of Christmas, but what's the meaning behind the description? If we talk about angels and shepherds and baby, we talk about the manger, we talk about kings, we talk about wise men, all the different things. We talk about Mary and Joseph, but why? Why? And so that's what I want to do today. And where I want to start that is in 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 4. And it was this. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." I'm really concerned here. That did you just put up John? Is Dallas back there? There he is. So I'm going to read you something different. I think you put up John instead of 1 John. Boy, everybody's scrambling and running. I love it. I'm just going to read 1 John. I'm going to leave this up there, though, because I'm going to come back to it. But it says, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested in us. What we have seen and heard, and we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy will be made complete." See, there's four little things in there. And they're not really little. They're really pretty grand when it comes to our faith. And this is not 4 points and an offering type of thing. This is really four truths that we find just in this passage of Scripture about Christmas, about the reason we have this. And so I want to show those to you pretty quickly today, because I think when we talk about Christmas, a lot of us, we might have some anxiety about it. How many of you have family coming to your house, right? And so you've got to do all the things. Everybody gets a little anxious about that. You have to find the right gift for that person that seems to never have the right gift. Maybe it's about the money, maybe it's about the food, whatever it is. But also, there's also some nostalgia that comes with Christmas, right? We start feeling good about Christmas time. We have some maybe great memories. We think about families. I go all the way back to maybe the late 70s when I was really young and at my grandparents' house on the farm, and everybody came from all over the United States, literally all the aunts and uncles and cousins, and this little bitty farmhouse with 13 grandchildren in it. I mean, it was really a 2-bedroom farmhouse that they turned into a 3-bedroom farmhouse. And, you know, with 10 aunts and uncles and the grandparents, I mean, we all crammed in. You have yours too, right? I mean, we have these thoughts and how good it feels. But Is that the meaning of Christmas? Is that what we're looking for? Because if you don't have those thoughts, if you don't have good feelings, maybe you remember, let's go for one of my other memories about Christmas, when one of the family members got so intoxicated that the police had to be called. Anybody have that family story at their house at Christmas? Right. I mean, so it's not always great. And so if you have all these things, what can we go to that grounds the meaning of Christmas? And that's where we find this. Because the first one is Christmas, really one of the reasons for Christmas, the understanding and the meaning behind Christmas. I know you hear this all the time, but salvation by grace is one of the meanings. And what does that mean to us? What is this understanding of this free gift? It's important that it's not about anything you can do. It's about how God wanted to save us. And how he wanted to save you, and how he wanted to save me. And I know that's what we talk about all the time, but it really is important because it does come from this little phrase. Okay, now then, we can go back, if it's still up there. Yeah, we can go back. In the beginning was the Word. And why is that so important? Well, it's so important because NRK Ho Logos, that Greek phrase up there, in the beginning was the Word, that means that it always was. Jesus always has been. In the beginning was God and Jesus. He also goes on, if you keep going into that, he says, the life appeared that we have seen and testified to, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father. See, he's talking about a real thing. He's talking about a real event. He's talking about a real life, not just a legend, not just a fairy tale about Christmas, not just all the things that go along with Christmas, but he's talking about Jesus, the reason for Christmas. Now, I say it every year, and I will say it today. Some of you are going to agree, and some of you are going to disagree, but all the other things that go along with Christmas, those are just fine to me. Whatever your traditions are, whatever your symbols are, whatever tree you put up or wreath or don't put up, if you do an Advent calendar or don't do an Advent calendar, if you do the bearded guy from the north, you know, that's fine. All those things are fine to me as long as you are grounded and you know the meaning and you're communicating that meaning to everybody in your family. You're communicating that meaning to your own heart and into your own life. And everybody has that grounding. I'm okay with that because it's not that we're being told that Jesus has life. It's not that we're being told that Jesus brings life. It's not that we're being told anything external of Jesus. It's saying that Jesus is the life. He's the one. He's what gives us not just eternal life, but this thing that you're living right now, he gives us. That's the meaning of Christmas, because in that eternal life, he says what? He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. See, that's Christmas, not all this other stuff. Okay, some people will disagree that we have a Christmas tree on stage, right? Some people want it, some people don't. There wasn't a Christmas tree in the manger. I'm sorry to disappoint you. That's funny. Right? I mean, this is what we have created. And I love Christmas trees, by the way. I like decorating them, kind of. I like doing all the other things. I like to watch the kids do it. I like the kids that this last weekend when we decorated the tree. Did anybody notice during worship that two small boys in our congregation put 74,000 ornaments at the very top of the tree? Yeah, they thought that was beautiful and wonderful, and that's fine, right? I mean, it's fun. It's enjoyable. Some of you adults, I think, tried to outdo the decorators of the children at the tables. I think next year we're going to have to tell you, this is for the children, okay? I mean, it's fine, but it's fun. But it's not the meaning of Christmas. The meaning of Christmas is Jesus, and it's the life. He is the life. The world tells us all sorts of reasons for Christmas. There's only one reason. Because the same people that want to tell you it's about just family, it's just about presents, it's just about the economy, it's just about being good, it's just about doing good. See, they're going to have the same fears, they're going to have the same loss, They're going to have the same anxiety. They're going to have the same heartache. They're going to have the same finances, and whether it's good or bad, family issues or not. They're going to have all the same experiences we do, except they're missing one important factor, the life that is given to them in Christ. John said, I love this right here. He said, we saw him with our own eyes. We heard him with our own ears. We touched him with our own hands. Why is he being so specific? Have you ever questioned, asked somebody, or looked in the Bible, or said it in your head while you're reading? Why did it say somewhere in the third hour, in the seventh hour, when the sun was coming up, when this happened in this specific time and location? Why did they do that? Because it's a real event. It's not a fairy tale once upon a time. It's at this appointed time, at this specific time, when this person was a ruler, when this person was king, when this war was happening, when this, right? All of these things. It's a real event, and he's trying to communicate to that to us, and he's also trying to communicate this idea, this fact, this truth, that the reason for Christmas is so that we can have fellowship with God. Not just a fellowship meal, right? Not just for us to get together, have a meal together, or to snack pack together, or to go to Sunday school, or to go out to eat, or play on a softball team together, or church league, or whatever. No, fellowship, us being together with him. Because before that, there was no togetherness. Because if Christmas is true, in the way that we're hearing it, in the way that we know it in Scripture, if Christmas is true, that we are saved by grace and that by believing in him we can have fellowship, it really does change everything. It changes everything in this idea that God came to us. He wanted a relationship with you to the point where he made the sacrifice to come to us in a personal way. Now, here's what and I can say this categorically. Every other religion, it's about us getting somewhere else. It's about us trying to climb a ladder. It's about us on a staircase. It's about us on different levels. It's about us doing the next thing to get to the next place. It's about us gaining some wider and greater universe. It's about us doing all the things. And God said, you can't. You've tried, you've failed, I've showed you, you can't, you've wanted to, but then you don't. You do all the things you know you're not supposed to do, and yet you try harder to do the things you're not supposed to do, right? I mean, it's over and over and over again, and yet he comes to us. And so when he makes that sacrifice, why does he do that? And here's the greatest point I want you to hear today. Okay, here's why he did what he did. Why did he send Jesus? Why was the Word made flesh? Because for us, we have to have a filter to be able to see God. Jesus is God. Jesus is the way we get to see God. Jesus is the way we get to be with God. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Here's how you can understand this. Right now, let's all go outside and let's go look up and see how long we can look at the sun. Right? Don't do that. I mean, literally, don't do that, because we know, or you're supposed to know, that'll damage your eyes, it'll burn your retina, it'll do all these things. To be able to look at the sun, what do you have to do? You have to look through a filter to look at the sun. Anybody have those, I don't know, what are those plastic silver discs that we have at home, and they have a little hole in them, and they play music? And yeah, I mean, does anybody remember those? Yeah, a CD. You can look through some CDs, and you can be able to see the sun because of the way that it is a filter. Okay, you can go buy a telescope that has the right filter. You can go to someone that studies astronomy, and they'll have the right things. All the different ways. But you have to have a filter to be able to look literally at the sun, because the radiance and the glory of the sun itself, we can't handle. But if you have a filter, you can literally see the burst of the sun. You can see the storms. You can see the sunspot. You can see all the different flames, the solar flares. You can see all of that. The same is true with God. We can't look upon God himself. He knows this. He told Moses this. Let's go back to the Old Testament for 2 seconds. When he's on the mount, right, with God, and the Ten Commandments are, and that whole thing, that whole transaction takes place. Moses says to God, he goes, "I want to see you." And God's like, "You can't see me." He goes, "You'll die if you see me. But turn around and I'll walk, my presence will walk past you." And when he did, all that took place, and even Moses was changed. His appearance was changed even because of that, right? See, we need a filter, and Jesus is that filter. We need something between us and God himself to be able to know the glory of God himself, and that is Jesus. That's why he came. That's why we have this scene of a manger. That's why he came, and we're going to talk later about why he did it that way. But Jesus is the filter. I love this. I just realized it, reading it. I didn't come about this on my own. I wish I was this smart and intuitive. But even when we sing, "Hark the herald angels sing," you know, all the different words and all the different lyrics and the different Christmas songs. Well, in that one, there's a verse. "Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity." Think about it. Veiled in flesh, not that so we couldn't see God, not veiled in flesh to hide God, no, veiled in flesh so we can see God. How many of you have ever thought of that? Isn't that fantastic? John Wesley was a smart dude. I mean, Charles, thank you, gosh. Charles, that's a smart guy, John's brother, to write that. He understood it. We sing it and we don't even get it. See, we have this filter, Jesus, a real person, a real event, a real living God for us coming to us. When you see and read and experience Jesus, it's God with a thin layer of flesh. It's God with a thin layer of humanity, because he knew how we needed to be able to see him. I think I could just be done with December right now. After I studied that and thought about that and read that one thing, I went, that's it. I've always known that thin layer of flesh was needed for that very reason, but to understand it in that way really does matter, because that's why the other reason for Christmas is that love really matters. That's how much he loved us. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. We've done that before. It just proves that God had that emotion for us that we understand. He loved us. He cared for us. And so he wanted us to experience that, because he knew we needed that. And here's how love works. You can't love without having someone to love. Amen? You really can't know it, right? How many of you growing up, the first time that you had a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you started experiencing that whole new level of understanding of what love was, right? How many of you, when your children came into your life, that you had a whole new understanding of what love was? How many of you know that how much God loves you based on those experiences of love? I've told you a million times, I'm not going to spend time on it, but the first time I held Macy, our daughter, suddenly I had just a flood of emotion of like, oh, this is what God feels towards me. See, that's that love understanding. This world came out of God's love for us. And then finally, the reason for Christmas is joy. Okay? And just to simplify it, see, that joy is the underlying principle for everything. That joy that God has that he wants to give to us. When I was mountain biking in Utah this last October, I ran over this, came upon this rise on a hill. And, you know, most of Utah, there's some really pretty parts. And, I mean, it's all pretty to me, but there's some really green parts, lush green and forest and trees, and there's snow skiing and rivers and all the things. But for a lot of it, it's desert. It's high desert. It's really pretty. There's monuments, you know, out of the cliffs and the rocks, and there's bridges and arches, and it's just fantastic to me. But I came over this this rise in a new place, and out in the desert, there was this a small, thin green line that went all the way through the desert from one end to the other, as far as you could see. And you know as well as I do what that means, probably, that there's a subterranean river running through that desert. There's water underneath that part of the desert, and it's bringing life to everything above it. Has to be around the water, has to be over the water. And there were birds, and there were animals, and there were trees, and there were flowers, and there were plants, and everything else was just dust and dirt, right? See, that's the underlying principle for Christmas for us, is that grace, that fellowship, that promise, that idea that God wants to be with us, and that joy that goes everywhere that Jesus does. That God wants us to have that joy. God wants that for us to plug into that joy. He wants our roots to sink into it. Because when we sink into that, then we don't worry about we didn't get the right gift under that tree. Or we didn't get any gift. Or we don't have the right relationship, or this relationship is broken, or we don't have enough money, or so-and-so didn't come for Christmas, or unfortunately, so-and-so came for Christmas. Yeah, I know your families are just like mine. Right? But when we sink into that joy, when we sink into these truths, then we don't necessarily get moved by those other things. We don't lose our center for what Christmas is. We don't worry about all the other stuff. We just experience the meaning of Christmas. I wonder what that meaning is to you and how maybe, hopefully, today changes that for you in some little way. Because really, the reason for Christmas is just that He wanted to come to us. He wanted to be with us. And Jesus knew that. I mean, He didn't come with some other alternative understanding. He knew what His role and His mission was, and that's right here, right? I mean, that's how we, it's not a segue into communion. I mean, Christmas is communion in a lot of ways, right? You can't have the baby in the manger without the Messiah on the cross. And you can't have the Messiah on the cross and the baby in the manger without the empty tomb. You can't have any of that without the sacrifice. And it's hard. It's hard to wrap our minds around that, because here's what we think, or maybe, is we go from December, and in 4 months we take a baby in a manger and we're crucifying him on the cross, and then in 4 months and a couple of days, then we're celebrating the resurrection, right? That's not quite the way it happened. Amen? Yeah, it's not the way it happened. Right? There was a life lived. There was a journey. There was all the things that everybody had to experience, just like we do, except yet, Jesus, He told us. He said, from the very point He knew when He was a baby in the manger, that He was going to end up saying, "This is My body, which is broken for you." Now that's a godly, fatherly love sacrifice. Think about that. Knowing that your baby in the manger, your baby in the crib, is going to be the sacrifice to save the world. And then He said, "This is My blood shed for you and for many. This is My blood of the new covenant, the new thing that's happening in creation." The fulfillment of what God wanted to happen from the very beginning is that we would be together with Him. "This is My blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this in remembrance of Christmas." Father, take these elements of bread and juice and let them be for us the body and the blood of Christ. Father, take the freedom that You give us in Jesus. Lord, let us take the grace that we inherit from Your goodness. Father, let us take the fellowship that You so desire with us, not just to be a follower, not just to be a believer, but to be in communion with You each and every day not just on Communion Sunday, not just in bread and juice, Father, but in life, in living. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. With those serving, if you'll come up, I'll serve you first, you and your families, and then the rest are welcome to come. We'll have two lines, and you just come to whichever one you'd like. If you want to spend some time up here in prayer, feel free to do that. If you'd like for me to pray for you or any of us, just raise your hand and get us our attention, and we'll be glad to do that. Feel free to come as you do. One thing I kind of fail to say most often is come repentant, come asking for forgiveness, and just come and receive this grace. Father, as we come to you today, Lord, let us remember that you came to us first. Father, we didn't make this happen. You did. You gave us the opportunity. Lord, I'm so thankful that we that are here gathered in your holy name, that we have chosen to make the decision, Lord, to be with you and to follow you, to interact with you, to have fellowship with you. Lord, now I pray that we would take the story of Christmas that is also the story of God and the story of us together, Lord, that we would take that to the world. Lord, that we would change the view of the world of what Christmas is and let it focus on you, Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah of the world. Not just a fairy tale, not a great story for a season, but Father, a great story that would change all of humanity for the course of the future of history forever and ever and ever. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.